right, Matthew, my friend, I'm starting off with a tough one. You ready?
I'm ready, Ben.
All right. Tom Brady has a total of 89,214 passing yards. What is your favorite 46-yard chunk of those passing yards?
Oh, that's easy.
All right, go for it.
Monday Night Football 2011, first quarter down in Miami, little post route.
Yep.
Of course, my man throws a dime. And you know what? We say that jokingly, but one of my favorite memories, obviously, is being able to catch a pass from Tom in a game, especially with the way my career has gone. And really, you know, one of the greatest people I've ever been around in my life. Just a tremendous man, tremendous teammate. And, you know, that's a very fond memory there, that catch from Tom.
I think he would say the same thing about you. But you couldn't shake the tackle there. You almost had it, the full TD.
I wanted the whole thing. I wanted the whole thing, but it was, you know, we got the win. That's the most important thing.
That is the most spoken like a true patriot. I agree. Well, that play really, you know, in my opinion, personally, really summed up, you know, has summed up your entire career. Well, actually, is there anything you want to announce today, or are we gonna? I'll keep going.
No announcements yet. We're still figuring that out.
There you go. Well, no, the play really summed up your career and in your this past when the season ended this past year in the press conference, you said, "I've given it everything I had." And how do you keep yourself motivated after 15 years and continue to give it everything you have, and especially the unique position on special teams where, like, it's one play in one moment, you got to be ready. So how do you prepare yourself for that?
That's right. Well, you know, for me, it's been a matter of perspective. You know, how I've viewed my career over the last 15 years is I consider myself very, very blessed. You know, I've got a chance to pursue what has been my dream since I was a child. And I know not a lot of people get a chance to do that. So I've always tried to work from a place of gratitude, not take anything for granted. And I still have that same joy that I had when I was a child, when I go out on the football field, when I'm preparing to go out on the football field. You know, everything about football it gives me energy, it gives me life, it gives me joy, and I'm just so grateful to have been able to do it this long.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be nice to play for a coach who just, like, appreciates special teams probably more than any other coach in the history of the league, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've always said I wouldn't have had the career that I've had if I hadn't been in New England, obviously, you know, with a coach who places value on the kicking game, who appreciates my skill set and has given me an opportunity that not a lot of people would have. So I'm very grateful for the time I've been able to spend here, the people I've been around. You know, I'm just a product of my environment.
I would say I don't know if you were given any opportunities. I think you earned them, but it's not to continue to go back to that last press conference, but it was an emotional one and really caught me. Kind of stuck with me. And one of the things you said in that was, and I'll read here your quote, but it said, "My dad told me when I was young, if I was going to play the game, there's a certain way to play it and a certain way to go out about it." You go on to say, "I've tried to make him proud and represent his name the right way because that's how he did it. That's what it's always been for me." So tell us about your dad, Hall of Famer Jackie Slater.
Yeah, you know, and I consider myself so blessed to be able to call Jackie Slater my father. And not because what he did on the field, but just the man that he's been for our family, the way he's led us, the way he's led my brother and I, my mom, and the way he's loved us. But, you know, my passion for football started with watching my father. It was what he did. It was what he loved. And it was a game that gave him so much. And that became contagious. You know, I always say, because of the relationship I have with my dad, whatever he had done professionally, I would have wanted to do it because he was my hero. He was the person I looked up to and still look up to more than anyone. But, you know, his passion for the game rubbed off on us at a young age. And, you know, I talked about playing football with my dad ever since I can remember. And to be honest, he didn't want me to. He was like, "Son, I want you to find your own path, be your own person, and football's dangerous." And I was like, "No, you play it. You can't tell me all that." So finally, when I became of age and he let me finally play, he was like, son, if we're going to play the game, we're going to respect the game. We're going to respect the process and everything about it. There's a certain way to go about it. And he taught me what that was. He taught me how to prepare. He taught me how to be a good teammate. He taught me how to compete. All of those things I took from him. And, you know, I consider myself so blessed to be able to represent him on the biggest stage in the NFL. You know, not only do I represent myself, my wife, my kids, but I represent my father. And the legacy that he built in this league is tremendous. And to be able to kind of pick up the baton and run with it a little bit further in his honor is really a blessing for me.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about that relationship and where to go with it, and the questions I, you know, want to ask, especially as a father of two. But I'm curious, you know, you won three Super Bowls. What did your dad say to you? What do you remember what your dad said to you after that, you know, that first Super Bowl win?
You know, I just remember us hugging one another and kind of smiling. There wasn't a whole lot said. I remember talking to my dad about, you know, not being able to achieve the ultimate. And, you know, he never got a chance to win a Super Bowl, only played in one in his fourth year, and then never returned in the next 16 years. So I knew how much that kind of hurt him not to be able to win a championship, you know, being the ultimate competitor and team player that he was. So I felt like, you know, me getting a chance to win the Super Bowl was kind of like us. We did it. You know, the Slaters are finally champions. And I just remember the embrace on the field, looking at one another without even really needing to say anything. We understood what it meant to me and to him. To be able to do that three times is crazy, but, you know, so special to be able to share that with my dad.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, when I think about you, and, you know, especially kind of preparing for this interview, and obviously you think about being, you know, the greatest, one of the greatest special teams players of all time, as I just mentioned, right? Three-time Super Bowl champion, two-time All-Pro, 10-time Pro Bowler. I just, like, the first thing always comes to mind is just, like, how great of a human you are. How you, like, when you're in a room with, like, Matthew Slater, it warms the room. You can feel the energy. Like, where does that come from? Like, where do you, like, even just the, like, energy to be able to go do that? Like, where does that all come from?
Well, Ben, you're far too kind. But, you know, I think that it goes back to how I was raised. You know, faith is a huge part of my family's story. And, you know, with that, we believe that, you know, everyone should be treated the same way, and that you should do your best to recognize the human element in every interaction, pay respect to every person's story, their journey, because there's value in everyone. And, you know, we try to go above and beyond to see that, because we feel like that's what people deserve. So, you know, my love for people, my love for giving back, my love for connecting and building relationships started at home. That's what my parents modeled for me. But I think the longer I live life, you realize what makes life so great is the experience we have with other people. The fact that we get a chance to build bridges, to make connections, to have that human experience together, it really means the world. And I think no matter what you accomplish in life, you should never get too far away from that. No matter how much success you have, or how great people may tell you they think you are, we're all humans at the end of the day. We all hurt, we all love, we all laugh, we all cry. And, you know, I try to remember that in every setting that I'm in as I interact with people.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, I know you don't do it for the trophies or the accolades, but, you know, you have the, you know, you've got a ton of awards, right? The Ron Burden Community Service Award, the Art Rooney Award, you know, endless awards. And so staying on that kind of that same arena there, you and your wife started the Slater Family Foundation. Can you tell us about the foundation?
Yeah, really a joy for us. I think for so long we thought about starting a foundation as a family, and we wanted to find the right niche for us where we could really get in and do work effectively. And we found that, hey, there are a lot of great organizations out there that maybe just need support and partnership, whether they need resources, awareness. So that's kind of how we operate now. You know, our foundation goes out and supports existing nonprofits, and we lend, obviously, our time, our resources, our efforts to it. You know, really, my wife birthed this. We're in COVID, and she's like, you know what? Now's the time. We need to pull the trigger. And I'm so proud of her for getting out, organizing, building connections, building bridges. But, you know, the idea behind our foundation is what I mentioned earlier. It's about people. It's about building bridges. It's about lending a hand when people need it, and just trying to better the people that we're able to touch. So our foundation is primarily active in the Providence area. That's where my wife and I met. That's where all of our kids were born. My wife lived down there before we were married. And, you know, we have a lot of connections down there. And Providence is an area that maybe gets overlooked a little bit, especially with us being in Boston. But there's a great need down there in a lot of different areas. And we're happy to partner with some great organizations down there and be doing some great work.
Awesome. We'll make sure to link to it so that the community here at Plainfield can support. So what do you do for fun? Outside of football, outside of supporting others, outside of family, like, what do you do? Are you a golfer? What's fun?
You know, I love to fish. My parents are from Mississippi. So we did a lot of fishing as kids, you know, a lot of ponds and lakes. I don't really do the ocean. I like to stay with the fresh water. But fishing is something that I've loved doing since I was a kid. You know, it's a passion that I hope to pass along to my three sons and my daughter. But, you know, catfish fishing, trout fishing, primarily what we do. And, man, I could go out to a lake and sit out there for hours. It's very relaxing. It's a lot of fun when you actually do catch fish. But, yeah, that's what I like doing for fun.
That's awesome. So, for the last question, I'm kind of a business question for you. So we were joking earlier, but, you know, no social media. That is it kind of a conscious decision? And what's your thoughts around kind of social media and even just business off the field?
Yeah. Well, look, I don't want to sound like the old guy, you know, social media is, you know, this, that. I think it's just not for me. You know, look, I think there are a lot of things that social media brings that enable people to build great brands and do great things and work some great connections. So I don't think it's all bad, but, you know, there are some pitfalls with social media. Unfortunately, there's a ton of negativity on there. You fall to the comparison game. And I think you really see that with our youth. Like, they're comparing themselves to this person, that person, and they feel like they need to be this or that instead of just being themselves. And, you know, I don't think I'm immune to that. You know, I think those are things that can affect you no matter what age you are, no matter how mature you are, no matter what you've done in life. So for me, it just is something I've decided to steer clear from. But everyone has to make a choice that they feel like is best for them. You know, the business that I do off the field, I think a lot of it is relationally driven. The longer I've played, I think the more comfortable you get with venturing into things off the field. And the great part about being here in Boston is there's so many different people that are involved with so many different things. And I've been fortunate to get into some things off the field and learn about, you know, whether it's ventures or things like that, but just learn about a different world that's out there. And I think it's important as athletes that we try to expand our reach, right? Because we can't play, especially football, we can't play football for as long as Tom Brady, most of us, right? We have short careers, and we have to hopefully find something else that we're passionate about and can pursue and can provide for ourselves beyond the game. So that's something I've enjoyed getting into, especially the last 4 or 5 years, is business off the field, and something I continue to try to educate myself on, and I'm looking forward to what lies ahead in that field.
Yeah, we'll all be here we'll be paying attention, see how we can support that as well. But all right, so last question. And so take me to Super Bowl 51, games tied at 28 each. As a special teams captain, you go out to the coin flip to, you know, right before, you know, overtime. What made you choose heads?
Well, I always call heads because my dad called heads when he was a captain. And for us, it's kind of a reminder. We always say God is the head of our life. So, you know, I've called heads ever since I've been calling the toss. And, you know, I remember that one. I knew what I was calling when I went out there. And I just said to myself, if we win this toss and we give the ball to Tom Brady, the game's over. And we won the toss, and the rest is history, as they say. But What a game. Incredible. You know, even when I watch it now, all these years later, I get nervous when we're down 28-3, even though I know the outcome. But man, that's a memory I'll carry with me the rest of my life.
You were so, like, I just watched the video before this, and after you call heads, it hit heads. It was like the coolest moment. You just walked off like, all right, yeah, of course. Like, it was like this, there's like, you could just tell this like cool confidence, like, all right, game time, we're getting the ball. And like, how quickly you called it, like, ball's coming, like, we're taking it, let's go.
Come on. So, and I knew the Falcons wouldn't see the ball again, and they didn't.
They didn't. Well, cool, man. Well, Matthew, thank you so much for your time today. Thanks for always showing me that leading with kindness and a smile leads to great success, man. It's been so much fun to get to know you over the years, but and watch you play. So, thank you.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate you having me, brother. Thanks for all your support over the years.